You're listening to the JT the Brick Show, where the Raider Nation has come to sound off and react for over 20 years.
It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell, backpedaling, lobbing to the end zone, trying to get at him, makes the grab! Touchdown, Raiders!
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Cosby's got it from behind. Back at the 45-yard line.
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz. And he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones. And he walks in. Touchdown.
And now.
Raiders! All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT today with Jets behind the board. Bobby's out today. We have a young lady who's working with us today who's fantastic. One of our newest additions here on Raider Nation Radio. Have a Modelo for me today as we open up the show. I got a lot to get to. Bobby's out today, which he deserves to be out, especially this time of year. So one of the things I like to do, which I shouldn't have to do, but I love to do, is book the show. Part of my job. And I could book the show literally. I could be a speed record and book it in 4 minutes. Today I booked it in 4 minutes. I sent out four texts. Four people got back to me and said, sure, what time you need me? So the show's good. Got some good guests. I got the NBA draft, which I'm not really that into. The NHL awards and the draft coming up here. My Knicks made a massive trade. My Knicks, which to me, I could talk about the Knicks for 6 hours without a breath, but probably that's not what you want to do. And then we're getting ready for our top 10 Raider games of all time coming up right around the corner there. Then I'm traveling and found out my schedule in Costa Mesa, where I'm pretty much going to be there for 2.5 weeks, Tuesday to Friday. Monday, I got to be back here at Wynn, hosted my show for SiriusXM Sunday, Mondays, and then I'm going to be in Costa Mesa cooling off. Because we are now officially baking like potatoes out here. It is the dreaded time of year. If you're not in Vegas, which most of our audience is not, the majority of our audience is in Los Angeles and the Bay Area, which is really cool. We're 103 today on the way to 108. And I'm going to the Aces game tonight because my son's good friend who plays for the Chiefs, you know I don't root for the Chiefs, but I love this kid, Jaden Hicks. He grew up in my backyard. He's throwing out the first pitch. So we're going to go there, head over to the Aces game tonight, where it will be 108. It will be 108 degrees when I go to the baseball game tonight in one of the greatest ballparks in the world. Not in baseball, here, ballparks in the world. And I will drink cold cerveza to cool off, and we'll see if we get any shade. I have a hat on. I'll sit out there. I don't know what's going to happen, and I have to say, it's not my record. I've been to games in the past, an Aviators game where it was 112. So I don't think this will top my all-time JT Heat record out there. But that's what my day looks like, which I'm excited about. And I'm going to see the Rolling Stones next week in Vancouver. I'm going to Vancouver for the first time. I'm excited about that. My sons are home, both home working. So we're spending a lot of time together in the backyard, in the pool. I got friends coming into town. But, you know, I'm looking... there's a lot of work coming up here for this show. A lot of work. We're welcoming in two brand new partners who are going to require a lot of publicity because they're big, two of our biggest. And we're going to be on the road hosting this show from the road, which isn't that complicated. But Bobby will be back here. I'll be in Costa Mesa. We're booking the show. When are the players going to be available? When are we going to be? Where are we going to be? We're putting that all together. And then we're going to count down to the three preseason games. And I'm going to be really busy hosting the play-by-play on radio with Lincoln Kennedy and Eric Allen. So I got to dive into the rosters of the Minnesota Vikings, the 49ers, and the Dallas Cowboys. But even though on radio, you don't care about those other teams. If it's a completion across the middle for 6 yards to a guy who's going to be on the practice squad, I'll call the play. I'll get the number right. I'll get the name right. But, you know, this is not brain surgery here. We're going to have fun talking sports on the radio. And that's what I want to hear from you today because the show's pretty booked up. And if you want an opportunity to get in, get in and get it going here. I mentioned the biggest story in sports coming into the NBA draft tomorrow. The Knicks pulled off a blockbuster deal for Mikal Bridges as the Nets are basically, the Nets are quitting, which is quite popular in the NBA. Teams quit all the time. Recently, teams quit in baseball over the last 20 years, the Rays and the Astros, and it benefited them because they got high draft picks. And then after a while, oh, the Orioles too. When you have first-round picks in baseball because you've sucked for 15 years and you get first-round picks galore, then you should be good 5 to 10 years from now. Well, the Brooklyn Nets are pretty much telling their entire fan base in Brooklyn, don't come to any games. I would not go to a game if my team traded away their best player. Remember, the Nets had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant recently. Recently, they had those guys. And it didn't work. And now they're trying to get out of all and unravel all their deals. And Mikal Bridges goes to the Knicks. And it's robbery here because the franchise gave away all of these first-round picks. And so did the Nets, and they need some of those picks back. So after all of this, the Nets were listening to offers from several teams for Bridges, who's a really good player, and he played at Villanova. So the starting four players for the Knicks now with Bridges, DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, and Josh Hart, all won a national championship in Villanova. We normally don't see this. You might get a North Carolina player, a veteran, to play with a North Carolina rookie. You might get a UCLA veteran to play with a UCLA rookie. What's happening here with the Knicks is they're building a team around a college team that was very successful here, but they gave up a sizable amount to make this deal. And the Knicks didn't have any problem with that. And really what the debate is about, so I can bring it into a topic here because I got to give you things to talk about. The NBA is basically saying draft picks don't matter. Wow, really? Draft picks don't matter? Steph Curry mattered. Wembanyama mattered. Anthony Edwards matters. No, most of the people are saying we want to win now. We want to win now. We don't need our draft picks in 2026, 27, first round picks. You don't even know who's getting drafted tomorrow night. It's a bunch of Euros, a bunch of European players you've never heard of, unless you are really in the weeds and you NBA podcast and you love it. So we got the NBA draft coming up here. It feels like the NBA is on life support, but it's not because Boston just won a title, and Boston has 18 championships to the Lakers, 17. And the NBA can't be in a bad place because the Celtics just won the title, and they're the most popular team in the NBA, along with the Lakers. And the Lakers just got J.J. Redick. So with all that happening here, there's a lot of talk here, but it just doesn't feel like the NBA is growing at a proper rate. And one of the biggest stories is LeBron James' son, Bronny James. Do you go out and draft him in the second round to try to lure LeBron James? It's like bait. Bronny James is bait to throw it in the ocean to get LeBron. I would do it. You know, I had John Ireland on yesterday, the voice of the Lakers. Bill Simmons, who's a big podcaster, said the Celtics should take Bronny in the second round to just play head games with LeBron. So Bronny James, who averages like 5 points at USC, is not a very good basketball player yet, but he's one of the biggest storylines that are going to jump in. As I was driving in here, from time to time, I'll listen to a Raider podcast, someone outside my space, and I listened to a podcast that came up on my phone, and it was done by an AI, artificial intelligence bot, because they were talking about what do the Raiders need to bring in to secure the secondary. Stephon Gilmore, who's a great player, formerly of the Patriots, played with the Cowboys, called really good player. And would he be good for the Raiders? Yeah, I've been saying that for a long time. I've been saying Stephon Gilmore, and the price would be about $9 million. So maybe a 2-year deal at $18 million for Stephon Gilmore. I don't know. Remember the last guy, Marcus Peters, who came in here, was a disaster. I remember when Marcus Peters got signed by the Raiders and came in, he grabbed the number 24. Hold on a minute. Oh, because he's from Oakland? We're giving Marcus Peters 24. I had him on the show. I congratulated him. Wearing Willie Brown's number and Charles Woodson's number. And then how did that work out? What happened with Marcus Peters, a veteran cornerback, and he had a nice player too, but he didn't tackle, and he didn't seem like he was the same player, and he wasn't aggressive enough. I think Stephon Gilmore, I'm going to talk about it with Vinny Bonsignore. Vinny's going to join us in studio. I want to dive into what could happen when you go after a guy like Marcus Peters and he flames out. He doesn't want to tackle. He doesn't want to hustle. And you're stuck with the contract. And the Raiders ended up cutting him, releasing him, which was quite embarrassing because Marcus Peters spent a lot of money to buy a beautiful suite for his family. I'm talking one of the big ones. Raiders got a couple of price points in that building. They're really expensive if you want to sit in a suite. And Marcus Peters probably wants all the money back that he put into that suite because he's going to need it when he's 70 years old in his retirement. But that didn't work. So as I'm listening to the individual talk about it today, I knew it was a bot. I knew it was someone AI because they couldn't pronounce Brandon Faison. So once the bot got it, it screwed up the name, and I said, wow, this is AI. We're in the world of AI now where podcasts are done artificially by people who are bots. We got Raider bots now that I'm listening to on the way in. But I like Stephon Gilmore. I think the Raiders should get a starting cornerback. I think the Raiders could get a starting cornerback. I think the best way for them to be able to do that, if they're going to be able to do that, is they got to wait for someone to get cut down from a good team who's not happy because they're not starting and they get beat in camp and maybe that player becomes available. That's one of the things I've been preaching here for quite some time about the Raiders at right tackle. Even though my new buddy, Thayer Mumford, who I'm getting to know better and better, I kind of like him. And to see what's happening with him and what's going to happen going forward, I kind of like him playing right tackle as I'm getting to know him and I know a little bit about his mojo and what motivates him to get going again. There was an interesting stat today that I tweeted out for the show. If you're following me on X, I still call it Twitter, at JT the Brick. There's an NFL insider named Dove Kleiman who put out, how many times your quarterback scrambled last season from top to bottom? I thought this would be a really good topic on the show because yesterday in the monologue, brought to you by PTs, they fuel the monologue, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, you got drafts, you got award shows, you got everything happening here, and PTs is hosting UFC watch parties, which are incredible. And you want to be a part of that, too. So with UFC 303, you have the NBA draft. You have the hockey awards and draft. You got a lot going on here. I'll head on out to PT's, and they will welcome you in a great sports bar with 70-plus taverns. So back to my point. The team that had the quarterback that scrambled the most, and that's what it says here, not running for first down, just scrambling. How many times your quarterback scrambled all of last year? Number one was Baltimore, 73 times. I didn't think that number's big. I see a lot of guys scrambling means what? Is it a plan play where you're rolling out? Or are you scrambling to get away from harm's way? So let's go with Baltimore because of Lamar Jackson at number one. They had 73. Then the number went to 70, and it was the New York Giants. Remember, Daniel Jones got hurt. They put in that Italian pizza maker, Tommy Lasagna. What was his name? DeVito? He came in, and he was running for his life. And he scrambled 70 times. And then the third team that scrambled the most was the Kansas City Chiefs. I said, man, you know, Kansas City had the most drops, and their quarterback is scrambling the most. So they came in at 55. That's a big drop-off from 73 to 55. And then the only other teams that had their quarterback scramble 50 times or more, the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles. And that would be Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, and I already mentioned Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So when I saw the tweet, I said, wait a second. What are we doing wrong around here? Why aren't we scrambling more? Because Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson are doing it. Why aren't we doing it? So I had to go to second to last on the list. The Las Vegas Raiders only scrambled 9 times last year. How's that even possible? This is an accurate number. It's an accurate number. This tweet is all over the place. All over the place. How is this even accurate? So I said, very interesting stats. Raiders need to be more mobile. And then I looked at Brock Purdy, the 49ers. He only scrambled 19 times. I said, there you go. Why are the Niners and their quarterback only scrambling 19 times? Because the ball's coming out quickly. Right? Brock Purdy's doing what he's supposed to do. Kyle Shanahan calls the play. Brock Purdy runs the play. He's got great receivers. Brandon Ayuk, who's been a little bit out there in this offseason, wants to get paid. Deebo Samuels, handing it off a lot to Christian McCaffrey, who's marrying a model this weekend, one of the most beautiful women in the world. Niners are living big, everybody. Niners are living big right now. And the Raiders only scrambled 9 times. And it's obvious Aiden O'Connell doesn't move around much. So I went to where Indianapolis was with Gardner Minshew, and he scrambled 29 times last year, tied with Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay. The only quarterback who scrambled less than the Las Vegas Raiders last year was Detroit. Jared Goff at only 7 times. So why is this a topic? I think it's a glaring topic today. Because the Raiders don't have any mobility at the quarterback position. Derek Carr was not a very good scrambler. He wasn't. Derek Carr was mobile enough. I mean, if the pocket was really breaking down with Derek Carr could get out of harm's way. He did. Derek was good with that. But then Derek ran out of bounds a lot, which is okay. You're a quarterback, you want to get out of bounds. He fumbled out of the end zone. You remember that? Through the end zone. He got sacked a lot. And he wasn't a great runner compared to some of the others there. But Aiden O'Connell scrambles and is less mobile than Derek Carr. And we know that Gardner Minshew could be mobile, but he's not very accurate when he's mobile. So I think this is a problem for the Raiders with mobility. It really is. And that's why we spent about a month heading into the draft. How the hell are we going to get Jaden Daniels? How are we going to trade up and get Jaden Daniels? Who's perfect. Perfect for the Commanders. Would have been great for the Raiders with his connection to Antonio Pierce. It would be nice to have a mobile quarterback. And we weren't able to get one. I don't think Michael Penix Jr., who probably would have been available, but the Raiders didn't want to spend that much to move up and get him. He's not a great scrambler. He can throw on the run really well, but he's not a guy who's going to tuck it and run it like Michael Vick. And then that leads me to Bo Nix. Bo Nix is pretty active there. I think Sean Payton sees something in Bo Nix that he likes, like Drew Brees, that Bo Nix can run if he has to. But I looked at Denver. Remember, they had Russell Wilson last year, and Denver scrambled 41 times. Near the top of the list. So how are we going to fit mobility into this team, everybody? What are we going to do here? Aiden O'Connell, this isn't like he went into a machine. He went and disappeared and got fixed by some robots and he's going to start running now. He's not. Aiden O'Connell has worked on his throwing on the run. That is rolling right, throwing. Rolling left, throwing. But I'm talking about real mobility. I don't think we're going to have it. I don't. I mean, the stats are proving my point. The Raiders only scrambled 9 times last year. There was 17 bleeping games. How could you only scramble 9 times? So as I look at this stat, I don't see any way possible where the Raiders are going to get mobile unless Gardner Minshew is the starting quarterback. And I'm not calling for that today as we're sitting here on June 26th. I'm not saying, man, you know, Gardner's more mobile, play him. No, I'm not saying that at all. Whoever outplays each other in camp is going to start. It looks like Aiden O'Connell is going to get the start of that. But we have little to no mobility on this team at the quarterback position. Can you win without it? Of course you can. Do you ever hear of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? Well, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady aren't playing quarterback for the Raiders. You know, how do you win in this league? How do you win in this league if you don't have a mobile quarterback? I think that's something Tom Telesco is looking into. Can you look into that? You know who I like a lot, which a lot of Raider fans are talking about now, is Dak Prescott. I looked at the Cowboys in this stat, and I said, where the hell is Dak Prescott? How many times did Dak Prescott run and scramble? Because he played the majority of the games, and right in the middle of the pack at 28. And we came in at 9. The Raiders and Dak Prescott could potentially be the next quarterback of the Raiders if Jerry Jones doesn't sign him with a lot of money. And he's got to pay CeeDee Lamb. He's got to pay CeeDee Lamb, and he's got to pay Dak. Now, if I'm Dallas, I don't pay Dak. I don't. I know that's crazy because everybody's getting paid. Trevor Lawrence, everybody's getting paid. But if I'm Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I look at Dak and go, look, we paid you a lot of money, man. We've paid you a lot. You got all these endorsements nationally in Dallas. We're not going to renegotiate with you now and give you more money. You flamed out in the playoffs last year. Let's see what you can do this year. But Dak doesn't want that because if Dak has a serious injury and his career's over, he's going to leave the league with no new money. So that thing's about to heat up in Dallas. Believe me, it's about to heat up. But for the Raiders on the mobility front, if you want to get in on this, at 702-365-9200. If you want, I don't think I've had a phone call in a month around here. It's been so dead, and it's good because I don't need one. I'd like one from time to time, but they got to be good. And that's a problem because we don't put everyone on the air and we don't do koozies and cups and T-shirts for a call. So if you're any good, call me. If you're not any good, don't call me. And everybody, 99% of you can't call in because you're working or you're listening on a podcast, whatever. But I haven't had a phone call move me in a while here. And the mobility of the quarterback position concerns me. Here's how we get out of it. I got the answer. I have the answer, that the solution for you. Here's how we get out of this mobility problem. We give the ball to Brock Bowers. He's mobile. Brock Bowers is mobile. We give the ball to Brock Bowers. We hand it off. We hand it off to him. We check down. Say it with me. Check down for Brock. We have 3-yard in routes. We have 3-yard out routes. We just get the ball to Brock Bowers. He's got it figured out. He's the mobile guy. We're good. Remember I said that? It's the obvious solution right in front of me. You're not going to make Aiden O'Connell Michael Vick. You're not going to even get him close to being Josh Allen. You're not going to be able to do that. You have Brock Bowers. He can be your mobility. This is a team and a former regime that didn't want to get the ball to Hunter Renfrow anymore. They really didn't. They moved on from Darren Waller because of some practice habits and injuries. Okay, they moved on. That looks like a very shrewd decision. Very shrewd decision to move on from Darren Waller. Good decision by the former regime. But we got to get from God and Brock Bowers. He can take away the glaring problem that the Raiders have. Lack of mobility at the quarterback position by getting the ball out to him on sweeps, shuttle passes, checking down at the line of scrimmage. He's your mobile guy. I'm telling you, I've been around this guy. I'm not a Georgia fan. I didn't cover every Georgia game in the SEC. I watched him play, obviously, a lot. I think he's a pretty good player. But when it comes down to one thing I know about Brock Bowers, he can touch the ball at the line of scrimmage and be more mobile than any quarterback we have in the building. He's not going to play quarterback, but we can solve the dilemma of, man, our quarterbacks don't run. We don't need them to run. We need them to hand the ball literally to Brock Bowers. Big Mike would be nice. Mike's probably going to have to run some routes. Devontae, yeah, you can give Devontae a sweep. Trey Tucker's unbelievable on a jet sweep. I think when you look at the players, Jacoby Myers, he's not going to be touching the ball much behind the line of scrimmage. But we have a new lethal weapon in Brock Bowers. We have a new lethal weapon in Christian Wilkins. We have two new players that were not on this team in the offseason. So when I call into other radio shows like you've heard, and I was a guest on VSiN, or I'm a guest in L.A., and they come and have me on, I talk about two guys that weren't here. JT, how come the win total for the Raiders is only bleeping 6.5? How come the Chargers have better odds to win the AFC West? Because I say to them, quote, none of your guests mentioned the two guys I'm about to mention. And they pause. The host paused. I go, dramatic pause. I go, who? I go, we got Brock Bowers and Christian Wilkins. We didn't have them last year. They're two of our best players. We have 4 elite players on this team. 4. Okay? Brock Bowers, he's elite. I don't need to wait to see him play. I've seen him play. We have Christian Wilkins. We have Max Crosby. And we have Devontae Adams. Say it with me. The core 4. The Yankees had a core 4 back in the day, led by Jeter, Mariano Rivera. Right? They had an unbelievable core 4. They won. They became a dynasty. The elite players on the Raiders. And we got a lot of good guys. Robert Spillane's a good player. Some good players on this team. The elite players are Brock Bowers, Devontae Adams, Christian Wilkins, and Max Crosby. I'm not waiting for Brock Bowers. I'm on the train. Now, remember, I was the same guy that started the McGloin train. Matt McGloin, if you go back to me, to 95-7 the game, because the quarterback got hurt. We're going to the playoffs. I had to at least get the people fired up, so I built the McGloin train. That didn't work out. It derailed. Not Brock Bowers, man. Brock Bowers, as I'm looking into the camera, because I know someone's going to clip this on YouTube, Brock Bowers is our solution to most any problem we have now in the Raider Nation. You better understand this, man. Then if you're going to be a Raider fan going forward and you want to win and you want to win big and you want to go to Super Bowls and playoff games, you better get behind Brock Bowers. I can't say if he's going to be healthy every game, what's going to happen. I'm just saying we got a gift from the NFL gods. We have to use it. Thor in Las Vegas, who was with me the other night at La Casa Cigars. How are you, Thor? Thor, what's happening?
JT, what's happening, brother? I'm hanging in. I'm on my way to another one of your spots. Resorts World is my Wednesday that I'm down there on Wednesday. So I'll be drinking a cold one for you down there.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
But to me, you don't have to have the mobile quarter. I think we need to have a really fast-paced offense, an offense that gets to the line, that gets the ball snap, that catches defenses off guard. I like your idea of getting Brock Bowers the ball any which way you can, but I like that idea with Trey Tucker. I like that idea with Jacoby Meyer, with Devontae, with Michael Mayer, with Zeus, with whoever. I want to see not a run and shoot, but like a get out there and just go and like shake up the other team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the predictable nonsense. We get to the line of the scrimmage and we got five or six seconds on the play clock, and then I can sit there. I'm not a coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly football knowledgeable, but still. Everyone I know down there can sit there and tell you what the Raiders
Thor,
are doing.
Thor, the music's coming up. I got to go. I love you, brother. Have fun at Resorts World, proud partner of our show. I like it. Play faster. How long I've been preaching that? They're all saying, preach, JT, preach. Yes, I'm at the pulpit. I'm preaching about Brock Bowers going forward. Vinny Bonsignor in studio next.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show. Brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7 p.m. and midnight to 2 a.m.
These guys playing a lot of their careers in the American League. There's a curve that's sent in the air to right field. Fam to the track, to the wall. A leaping fly, but it's gone. Shohei Ohtani leads off the game with a home run. He goes back to make sure he touched first. He was all discombobulated. He carried the bat all the way around first base. Said, I don't need this anymore. I do need to touch the bag. And I just hit my 24th home run.
JT, back with you. Summertime Radio. We'll mix in an Ohtani home run or a Yankees loss to Vinny's Mets. And Vinny Bonsignor joins us live in studio. If you're on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, you could check in on that. I watched the Subway Series last night. The stat on Cole, which was incredible. I've never seen this. So the Yankees started in 1903. Okay? They were the Highlanders.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. So we're talking 122 seasons.
Yes.
Gerrit Cole's the first pitcher in Yankee history to allow 4-plus home runs, 4 walks, and struck out nobody before pulled from a game. Ever.
Isn't that insane?
Going back to the 1903, and it's their best player.
Yeah. I was very surprised by that.
Yeah.
Thankful, but surprised. By the way, Ohtani, this guy's an MVP candidate right now, and he hasn't even stepped foot on the mound yet. That's
right.
Arguably his best skill, is as a pitcher. This guy is... I know Yankees Babe Ruth, and if you ever want to get lost, and I still contend he's the greatest of all time. If you ever want to get lost in baseball heaven, just go check out his baseball reference page. It's just mind-boggling how good he was and the statistics that he put up. And here's the thing. You can make all these arguments. You know, he's playing against that competition. He's playing in that era. Nobody was doing what he was doing. Nobody was hitting 60 home runs until he showed up. So it wasn't like anybody could have done it because nobody was doing it. He did.
You nailed it. And Ohtani only has 38 career victories as a pitcher. 38.
Well.
Okay. I know.
Who is he playing with?
I got it. But he's in the major leagues now.
Yeah.
And if he wants to put up some pitching stats, I don't know. Do you think he's going to pitch a lot? Like, he's going to come back and pitch again next year. But do you think he's going to be the front of the rotation workhorse and be that player?
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he's I think he has a innate understanding of baseball history and where he could put himself. And obviously he wants to win. And I think the world's going to see his greatness on a playoff stage this year for the first time, probably.
Yeah, I don't know if the Angels.
It certainly wasn't with the Angels. Who's they're wasting one of the ultimate, great New Yorkers of all time,
Mike Trout.
Yeah, Mike Trout. Imagine that the Yankees and the Mets both, I think, passed on him.
It's amazing to watch him. I was ranting about Brock Bowers because I showed you the stat about the lack of mobility of the Raider quarterbacks. I think that I personally believe Bowers has to hit the ground running fast. Mm-hmm. I think there's got to be some plays that are behind the line of scrimmage to him, at the line of scrimmage, short passes that can develop into deep plays. And I think that will change a lot of perspective on this team. I think Christian Wilkins on defense has the opportunity to change everyone's perspective on how great the defense could be, because it's good now, could be very good, and then could it be great? But Bowers, to me, is an X factor, because I don't like the way the former regime handled Michael Mayer last year, and I don't want to see that with Bowers this year. I want him to be ready to go in L.A. against the Chargers.
Yeah, 40 targets last year for Mike Mayock. Michael Mayer. Unacceptable.
40 targets.
The entire season. That's like 2.8. Per game?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And every time he did touch the ball, he made something happen.
Yeah, he did.
So,
he looked great.
There's no way that can happen again. And I believe, and I'm with you, whether it's Michael Mayer or Brock Bowers, these are two players that you need to target 75 to 80 times a game, maybe even 90 times for a Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. You have to try to get him the ball that many times, along with Michael Mayer, because these are two phenomenal tight end prospects who can make things happen, with the football. And by the way, you were saying the lack of mobility of the quarterbacks. Any great coach that I've ever talked to, I know what guys can't do. Let's figure out what they do.
Sure.
And let's figure out ways to succeed with what guys can do. So in terms of Aiden O'Connell, you understand that the mobility isn't supreme or anything like that. But you can still win with quarterbacks like that. Mm-hmm. It's on the coaches to figure out how to utilize his particular skill set in a way that accentuates the team, and Gardner Minshew, for that matter.
Two of the greatest of the four Mount Rushmore quarterbacks of all time, I don't think you could debate, are Brady and Manning. Mm-hmm. And they weren't very mobile.
Right.
And when they scrambled, it was out of necessity. They had to, but they kept their head up. And for Aiden, when people talk about improvement this year, and you've seen him a lot more than I have, the improvement that I'd like to see is when he rolls right, because he made that beautiful touchdown of Michael Mayer in the end zone where he rolled and made a gorgeous play. Just work on that a little bit better. Keeping your head up as you're running away from defenders, keeping your head on a swivel, and then being able to deliver a pass. I think he can do that.
I agree, and I think when you look at a guy like Peyton and Tom Brady, they beat you at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were going to do before the snap of the ball. They were making decisions and commanding it at the line of scrimmage. I'm not saying that Aiden's going to be that kind of a guy, but he's smart enough to, how do you make up for that lack of mobility, beat teams with your decision-making long before the ball is even snapped. It's before the ball is snapped that you create that edge for yourself. And I think he's smart enough to be able to get the team into and out of, bad looks to better looks, to give them a chance so that, the lack of mobility is a factor, but it's not the factor.
Vinny Bonson, you're live in studio for a few more minutes. Bill Williamson, Raider Insider, coming up. Where do you stand on Stephon Gilmore or the other number one potential cornerback that could come in? Because Stephon Gilmore, I'm not saying he's better than Jack Jones now. He should be, because he's more durable. And Jack Jones doesn't have a history of being on the field consistently for a long period of time. I think he's cornerback number one here. But knowing the budget the way you do of what Tom Telesco has, knowing some of the depth around the league, do you think Tom Telesco has his eye on multiple potential cornerbacks that could come in at the end of camp, maybe heading into preseason?
It could be that. It could also be, you start to get with certain guys and where they are age-wise, you're like, look, 8 games into the season, 7 games into the season.
Yeah, we touched on that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you might be a 10-game guy, and why waste you for the first 7 games of the season? When what we really need you for is the last 10 games. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's one of those. And the season will, the early part of the season is going to make some determinations on if they really do need to go get another cornerback. But the one thing that I know Tom Telesco subscribes to this is, don't fall in love with the name, because the name, you have to also understand, is there still a game? And for some of these guys, not to say that Steven, that Gilmore doesn't have game anymore, but you have to weigh that into account. And also, at what, where are they right now for in terms of the veterans? And are they that much better than your than who you currently have, or is it pretty close? And if it's pretty close, I think you always side with develop the younger player. It's cheaper. You know, you want your homegrown players to be the guy and to develop him and not stunt their growth. So if the talent is equal right now, you side with the younger player because you don't want to interrupt any of their growth spurt.
What did you see so far that leads you to believe that this three-man team in the middle of the offensive line, which would be Dylan Parham, Andre James, and Jackson Powers Johnson, is going to work? Because that would be running the ball up the middle, which right. seems to be the strength of Zamir White, more so than getting outside. I think Alexander Madison's pretty good hitting the outside bit. But if we're talking about a team that wants to run it down your throat, with a tough-minded offense and a coaching staff that wants to do it, what do you see with those three in the interior?
Yeah, and also don't rule out some of those outside runs because with athletes like Jackson, go watch Jackson Powers' tape. He was pulling as a center.
Right.
Like he would snap the ball and then lead your run game, you know, going left or right. You just follow that dude, right? And he's a guy that could do that in the NFL as well. So I think there's going to be definitely the potential of a punishing push up front. But also with Dylan being a great athlete and Jackson Powers Johnson being an athlete and Andre James is a really good athlete as a center as well, you could do a bunch of different things in your run game. And especially with Jackson Powers Johnson being that lead blocker, somebody that you set your run game behind and allowed him to lead the way. So I think they're going to be able to do multiple things with that new setting. We didn't think about it on draft night. Oh, you moved Dylan to right guard, put Jackson Powers Johnson at left. It didn't even dawn on me that that might be part of the plan. But then when it became obvious that it was, it makes all the sense in the world.
Last one, I'm into local politics where I live here in Vegas, but not when it comes to sports. And the political vibe of going to Costa Mesa with the city of Costa Mesa. You were there with the meetings in Vegas when the Raiders were closing the deal to come here. And as you were following that story, you just saw how everybody embraced the Raiders in Vegas.
Right.
Do you got that feel in Costa Mesa because you were there for the vote? And I don't need to know the deals, the exact deals of who can come or not. We're going to find out how out. We're starting to get to know it there. What do you think of this fit for the couple of weeks we're going to be out there for camp?
Yeah, and I already, you know, some season ticket holders have already hit me up. They've gotten notices, like, to sign up. So it's not going to be like no fans can be there. It's on an invite only. That's the only way you can do it because of the Rams and Chargers, that being their marketing area. But I would suspect that a bunch of those season ticket holders that get those notifications are going to make it a point to make it out to Costa Mesa, whether they're the Bay Area fans, the Las Vegas fans, or you know that there's a lot of season ticket holders from L.A., I think they'll be able to fill that space and create the kind of environment that I know Tom Telesco would like and the players would like, which is a festive atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know, it's tough getting out there and working day after day after day when you don't have the support of fans out there making it kind of a lively atmosphere. So I know they're going to try to create that as best as possible, but they're confined in how they can do it. But I think Raider Nation is gonna respond. They have here in Henderson. Yeah. You know, they've gotten fans out here in Henderson, and I think there's an even bigger space now available to them in Costa Mesa. So I would suspect that because there's a bigger space, they're going to allow for more season ticket holders to come on a daily basis.
I was at La Casa Cigars last night with Mike. I'm going to wish him a happy birthday coming up on Sunday. I know you like to go there, sip tequila. Last night it was hot. They had a singer perform inside. The air condition was pumping. People were smoking on the patio. What a great spot to listen to live music.
Yeah, for sure. And they've done a great thing with our friends over at Dos Catas Tequila. Shout out to Les Kekahuna, who I know is waiting anxiously for this NBA draft. He's rooting for his Lakers, so we'll find out what happens at the draft. By the way, 4 o'clock, we're doing the draft here at Raider Nation Radio, so stick around. I'll be here from 2 to 4, and then the draft right after that. But Dos Catas Tequila and La Casa Cigars, Mike Prieto, Les, they came up with this great partnership of some specialty cigars paired up with Dos Catas Tequila's labels, and so you can sip on some great tequila, enjoy a great cigar, and as you said, enjoy all that ambiance.
Absolutely. When we come back, Bill Williamson will join us. We'll dive into some of the content that he has going on, which is really good, on some of the 8 players that are going to have to play under some pressure coming up. Have a good break, Vinny.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good to see you. Vinny Bonsignor, nice treat for those watching on YouTube. And when we come back, Bill Williamson, Raider Insider, will join us. And He's got eight players under a spotlight. We'll do that next.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Modelo Especial, the new number one beer in the U.S.
Anthony and I already had a conversation a week ago about some ideas, both offensively and defensively, and I think both of us felt really comfortable going forward with that sort of as the base starting point of how he's going to play on this team.
All right, there we go. JT, back with you as we continue on here on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. Bill Williamson is going to join us in a moment as we come back here. And thanks again to Vinny Bonsignor as we continue on. I'll get Bill to call us, and we'll do that and get him up here momentarily as we get rolling on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. So Vinny Bonsignor, really good here, I think, in studio today, giving us his opinion on Costa Mesa, backing up my opinion on Brock Bowers and what Brock Bowers is going to be able to do there, the lack of a mobile quarterback and or not, and what this team's going to be able to do a little bit differently on offense. And what they're going to be able to do a little bit differently on offense this year for me is going to be the key to the season, because the Raiders' defense is going to show up. They're going to play at a very high level, and I think they're going to play at a faster pace than they've played before on offense. They have to, because they can't sneak up on anybody with this 12-man personnel with the two tight end set. I think they're going to have some wrinkles into it, and I think Brock Bowers is going to have a lot of that. We got him. Bill Williamson joins us. Bill, intriguing column on the eight players to keep an eye on. Really like that. That's why I reached out to you again this week. Good to have you. Give us some offensive side of the ball. Intriguing figures that we need to keep an eye on. Bill, are you there?
Yeah. How
okay,
are you?
I got you now. Good. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball and who we need to keep an eye on.
Well, yeah, we're talking about that column. I mean, just some key guys. I mean, you know, Zamir White. He's a guy that has pressure on him because it's his first year as a starter, and he's taken over for a guy who was a heart and soul type of that offense, and Josh Jacobs. Now, when you say, when I write about pressure, I'm not really writing about guys on the bubble in this mm-hmm. instance. It's guys who have an opportunity, and they have to take advantage of it. And this is Zamir White's chance, but he has to show that he's going to be the lead back. I mean, sure, Alexander Mattson, the free agent mm-hmm. from Minnesota, is a nice piece. Dylan Lobb, the sixth-round pick, is, you know, kind of a Swiss Army knife who can do a lot of things. But they need a lead back, and that's on White. And if he's not capable of doing that, there's going to be some issues. Now, you know, he's a guy that didn't get a lot of chances earlier on his career. He started the last four games of last year and played well and had 100 yards plus in two of those four games with Jacobs out. And he's going to have to so he can be a consistent runner, you know, for the Raiders as the lead back.
Bill, I just talked to Vinny. He was in studio, Vinny Bonsignor, about the strength of the interior of the offensive line. Is that where this team's going to run the ball behind Jackson Powers-Johnson, Andre James, and Dylan Parham? Colt Miller, possibly? Or do you think they're going to go with Thayer Mumford along the right side and make plays on the outside?
Well, I think you're going to, you know, I mean, it's the NFL, you got to be varied. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly, you know, and the interior is something that they invested in this year when, you know, re-signing James, using the second-round pick on Powers Johnson. And the offensive line is certainly a key as well. You know, Powers Johnson is a guy that a lot of people are excited about, and they should be. But, you know, he hasn't played a lot of guard, and he's only 21 years old. And he's, you know, there's going to, I mentioned him in my story, but if he's a starter, there's going to be, you know, a lot is going to be expected of him. But, you know, there's certainly a lot to like about him. He's big and nasty and tough and seems ready to go because, I mean, he had an incredible season last year. But he's young, and if it takes him a little while, it takes him a little while.
Bill Williamson is our guest, long-term Raider insider. He's got a great column out today on eight of the players that we're going to keep an eye on here, and I retweeted it out. Take a look at that. And, Bill, on the defensive side, it's time for Divine Diablo, for me, to find out who he is. He looks great. He looks like the perfect size for a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. He makes plays, but there's a lot of games where he doesn't show up on the stat sheet. where it's really big, where you go, oh, my God, that's a type of generational or an elite player, a potential Pro Bowler. Is this a make-or-break year for Divine Diablo?
Well, you know, you're going to be a free agent. And they drafted Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State in the fifth round. Now, you know, look at, we get so excited about these draft picks, but in reality, they got him in the fifth round on Saturday. So any player picked in that range, we're not automatically going, okay, he's the heir apparent. They're going to let this guy go in free agency because they got this guy in the fifth round. That fifth rounder has to show he can play in the NFL. So, you know, I don't know if Diablo's in the hot seat, but he was on the list of my guys pressure on, because if he doesn't show consistency, and I think health has been an issue with him at times as well, if he can't stay healthy and can't stay consistent and Eichenberg shows something, yeah, I mean, they may not offer Diablo what he's hoping to get, and, you know, he may be a free agent next year. So he's certainly a player to watch in 2024.
Another player to watch, you put Jacorian Bennett in there, and again, I think he's the type of player that we don't know enough about because of the way he sat last year after given an opportunity to start. And then Jack Jones comes in, and you wonder where he's going to fit in this year, especially with Nate Hobbs. What are you hearing? What have you seen? What have you read about Jacorian Bennett and his progression this offseason?
Yeah, he's another guy I mentioned. And again, it's pressure, but it's also opportunity. I mean, I think we forget about this guy. He started as a fourth-round pick at the beginning of the year last year. And, you know, he flashed at times. He had some trouble. He had some tackles, which isn't always a good thing for you. Don't want to see a cornerback getting a bunch of tackles. Especially, you know, after pass plays, it means he's given up receptions. He got hurt, and then he's kind of forgotten about. And he was, during the time he's forgotten about was when, you know, Pierce took over and things changed. So obviously he has to impress this coaching staff. He may have an opportunity to start because, you know, they have a little money. There's some free agents out there. But they haven't signed anybody, so I think he'll get an opportunity. But he has to show that, you know, he's up to the task.
A last one, Tyree Wilson. You said he's been doing and saying all the right things this offseason. Once the season starts, though, the pass rusher has to show he can become a reliable option, or will he be in danger of being lost in the shuffle? I think that's beautiful. I think you nailed it. He's got to prove in the first couple of games that he's got to stay on the field and be an impact type of player. Is he going to be that type of player, or are they going to work him along as a guy who's going to get just a few chances until he can prove that he could be an every down defensive lineman?
Yeah, I mean, there's opportunity. I don't think we should just throw this guy away.
Yeah, of course
not. I mean, he came in with an injury last year. You know, he had some moments. Moments of nothing, that those moments of nothing continued throughout the year. But, you know, in December, he did flash a little bit more, but there was also some disappearing acts. But let's see. It's a hard league. There is opportunity for him because he's going to get a chance to make some plays with, you know, Crosby and Wilkins doing their thing and Coons. But if he can't be consistent, you know, those opportunities may dry up for him. So, it's a big year for him. I think, you know, the people around him are trying to lift him up. I think, you know, they want to make him confident. And I tell you what, if he does make a fast turnaround or development, I think is the best term, it's only going to be really great for this defense who have a lot of weapons. So if you get deeper with him, that's a great thing. But they need it to happen because they do have a lot invested in him.
Great column today. A lot of question marks, even on the Raider defense going forward. Bill, I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the summer.
Hey, thanks. Happy 4th of July.
You got it. Bill Williamson. Appreciate him coming on here. Raider insider, the longest tenured Raider insider that I have on the show. Always appreciate that. I appreciate my family here, my friends on YouTube, because we're building that, and we're building it in the summer during the dog days of the Dead Zone. So I'm going to remember the people that are subscribing to my YouTube page at JT The Brick YT, because the beginning of this means everything to me, and I want to thank everybody who's there. Darren Millard from the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast team on the Hockey Awards and what's going on at the Sphere.